in the limelight.
The Palestinians who are most at risk are calling on U.S. Attorneys General to enforce the policies guiding charitable funding, cutting off the material resources of the settler organizations that are systematically and discriminatorily targeting families for displacement. Please stay with us for an article in this regard, written by Muhammad Khatib Ryder. This article is published under the heading U.S. charitable donations are funding displacement of Palestinians. Here's the story. Several gunshot bangs pierce the sky. The Zionist regime troops shot a Palestinian protester with live ammunition. Chants and cheers from the Zionist settlers from Modin Elite rang out through the air as they stood upon a mound of dirt overlooking the Zionist apartheid wall. The Zionist regime troops fired multiple rounds of tear gas into the crowds. As protesters scattered to evade the gas and live fire, young volunteer Palestinian paramedics darted through the tear gas to quickly grab and attend to the injured. That 5 minutes of Palestinian nonviolent resistance on April 1st, 2022, captured the essence of Land Day. Despite facing the heavy hand of the Zionist regime military, Palestinian protesters and international solidarity activists refused to leave their land. It's been 46 years since Land Day, a day when Palestinians organized en masse against the Zionist regime program of colonization and indigenous erasure. On March 30, 1976, Palestinians took to their ancestral lands as an act of sumud, of steadfastness, organizing a general strike and protest marches in response to the Zionist regime's decision to confiscate another 20,000 dunams, about 5,000 acres of Palestinian land in the Galilee. The Zionist regime had already taken some 75,000 dunams from the indigenous communities the previous decade. Land Day has always been a point of national unity, bringing together Palestinians on both sides of the Green Line to resist the Zionist colonization. Back in 1976, when the first Land Day occurred, Palestinians understood full well that the land grab by the Zionist regime served several purposes. First, the intent was to expand the Jewish-only settlement in Carmel in the north as a tactic to limit the natural growth of Palestinian towns. The Zionist regime's planning has always operated on the premise that by taking away the lands of the surrounding Palestinian villages, the communities would have nowhere left to build, that those families would eventually leave for a life outside of historic Palestine. Today, it is easy to see this tactic play out over and over again, whether in the expansions of the Har Huma, Gilo, and Efrat settlements that sealed in and cut off Beit Lahm, or in the building up of the settlements in the Jordan Valley to push Palestinians into ethnic enclaves. So, for the communities of northern Palestine calling for mass mobilization to preserve their lands, including Saknin, Araba, Deir Hana, and others, their future was paramount. Like Palestinians have been doing for generations, they took to the streets knowing that they would face the heavy-handed violence of the Zionist regime and that some would likely pay for their resistance to colonial violence with their lives. As Palestinians made this call to resist, leaders within the Zionist regime and significant figures of the Zionist public made demands to crush the Palestinians' resolve. On March 28, 1976, the Zionist regime minister of police, Shlomo Hillel, declared that officers were ready to break the Arab villages. The Israeli newspaper's attempt to delegitimize the resistance called it a Moscow-led operation to destroy the state, they claimed baselessly. Others branded it as a violent, racist movement. Then Minister of Education Zevulun Hamer described Palestinians as being a cancer unto the land, land that had always belonged to Palestinians. With the Zionist regime's general public calling for open violence against these Palestinian communities days before the protests was even to be held, the Zionist regime sent a heavy military presence to the villages, including armored cars. Every Palestinian knew that attending the protests was risking their lives. Not only were they facing physical assaults from the Zionist troops, they were also facing the financial risk of consequences by their Israeli employers for standing up for their own basic human rights. Palestinians have initiated the campaign to defund racism in honor of this tradition and in light of the vital need to address the structures that allow the Israeli settlement to continue. This campaign seeks to stop the exploitation of the United States charitable status to fund the Israeli settler movement. The campaign addresses the financing of Israeli settler colonialism and responds to the decades-long battle to protect the Palestinian lands and resources from the Galilee to Sheikh Jarrah to Berlin and the Negev. These settler organizations, the Israel Land Fund, Ataret Kohanim, Regavim, and others, are the organizations that use hundreds of millions of dollars to shape the Zionist regime's program of indigenous displacement. Look at Regavim, which is using U.S. charitable dollars to evict the community of Khan Ahmar. Ataret Kohanim is taking over the Petro Hotel at Yafa Gate. Deputy Mayor of Al-Quds and founder of Israeli Land Fund, Aryeh King, targets the families of Sheikh Jarrah. The Palestinians who are most at risk are calling us the United States Attorney General to enforce the policies guiding charitable funding, cutting off the material resources of settler organizations that are systematically and discriminatorily targeting families for displacement.